Blog Talk Radio. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Mary Trunk started as a painter, became a dancer and choreographer, and has been making films for over 20 years. She spent 7 years filming four mother artists for her most recently completed feature-length documentary, Lost in Living. The currently released short documentary, The Past is in the Present, is about the Pulitzer Prize-winning composer Gunther Schuller. Mary is also working on an interactive website called This Woman's Life that will feature stories about the invisible women in our lives and what they can teach us about survival and living life to the fullest. Her newest hybrid documentary project, Muscle Memory, focuses on memory, age, and the desire to keep dancing in some form or another. Mary also teaches film and video at Mount St. Mary's University, Loyola Marymount University, and Art Center College of Design in Los Angeles, California. Carol, your friend Donna Hauser is attending Mount St. Mary University graduate program right now, right?
Yes, that's what I hear. And Claire, it was through Donna that I learned about this incredible program, and I think our listeners will be pleased to know the benefits. So thank you, Mary, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we want to know more about Mount St. Mary and the mission of the graduate film program, because please share that with us.
Sure. Mount St. Mary's University is here in Los Angeles, and they have, about 4 years ago, they created an MFA film program that is, what's unique about it, among one of the things, is that it takes place on weekends and evenings. So it's really designed specifically for working people and students who need a flexible schedule and a reasonably low price tuition. So what happens is the courses are held on alternating weekends for a total of 6 weekends in one semester. So students generally complete the program in 5 semesters, which comes out to about 2 years. The classes, which is really great, are between 6 to 8 hours at a time for each course. So it's very intensive, and we get to do a lot in that period. You know, the classes, it's part lecture, part demonstration, part projects, and it's an immersive kind of thing, but it's quite flexible for people who are working, have full-time jobs, or just don't have the time to go to school during the week. So it's really kind of a unique place for that situation, and I like the program in that sense. I like working I really love having classes that are that long, and the other thing that's great about the school is our campus is a satellite campus of the school itself, and we're at Sunset Gower Studios right in Hollywood. So it's really great, and that really gets, you know, has the students sort of in a space that that really gets creativity going and gives them some experience with real-world film industry situations. And so it's really a great program, and I've been there since kind of the beginning. So I think it's unique in that sense. It's on a studio lot, and it's on weekends and evenings. And
well,
the other thing I would add, go ahead.
Well, I just wondered about the working on a studio lot. What did the facilities provide for you?
Well, we're at Sunset Gower, where we have a space right on the lot. So we don't students really get the experience of seeing other productions happening around them, and also if they want to, they can actually meet people on other productions. We often have guest speakers at our school from these productions, people from all different departments in the film production process, and it's easier for them to get access to internships and possible jobs even, because they're right there in the midst of it all. And they, you know, we have classrooms that are set up for working, you know, creating work that is much like being on an actual set. So it's I think that's the main thing for students is, and they seem to really like that. So I think it's unique that way.
Yes, it sounds like it. I think that's wonderful. Now tell me, how many students are normally enrolled and how big is the program?
Well, we have about, I think there's about 50 students in the graduate program, but they also have an undergrad film program, film and media communications program, and that has about 50 to 60. So all the students, both graduate and undergraduate, take classes, production classes at the studio. That's where all our production takes place. So what's kind of nice about that is that graduate students and undergraduate students work together on a lot of different things. And the undergrads get mentorship through the graduate students, and all the equipment is right there. So it's a small program. There's, you know, it's not a lot of students. So they get, classes are no larger than maybe 16 in each class, and some
smaller. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it's great that way.
Well, what's the application process? What do you require?
Well, much like any graduate program, we definitely need an application, an essay, and a resume, transcripts, letters of recommendation. And in our program, the MFA program, we have a fall and spring entry, so you can apply to enter in the fall or the spring. But we do require a creative portfolio, which can be it doesn't actually have to be a film portfolio. We are open to having students consider our program who come from all kinds of disciplines because, I truly believe that people can be in the film business in many different ways. You know, we have writers, we have editors, we have cinematographers, we have people who work on the crew. And so they bring people from literature, from science, they bring things to filmmaking that we think is important. So sometimes we'll have people apply and they'll submit screenplays or they'll submit a novel or they'll submit photography. And they pretty much start their film studies at Mount St. Mary's in the grad program, which is another thing that kind of makes it unique. Specifically if students wanted to know exactly what's required, not only they could go through admissions, but we're pretty flexible. You could talk to the director, Kelby Twaits, and find out, you know, what you actually need to submit. Where we don't have strict guidelines, but we do need to see something creative.
Okay. Well, tell us about the different tracks or specializations that students can focus on.
Great. Let's see here. There's so many. We definitely have concentration. So what happens is students come in and they start in the program taking their core classes, which we think, another thing we believe is that students should get an overall idea of what goes on in the film production process. So they take an intro to digital video production, and that really helps people who don't have any film background. And then they also take two production classes where I teach a production one class, which is where I put people through, not through, that sounds terrible. I actually require them to do a lot of work, and they have to do all of it. They have to learn how to produce, how to film, how to edit. And they do it quickly so that they get a real sort of overview of the process. And then after they take those classes, they can concentrate in screenwriting, directing, producing, documentary, cinematography, editing, visual effects, and we just added a new program in photography. So there's a lot of different concentrations that people can choose to do once they've gone through the basic core classes. And in some ways, those basic classes help them figure out what it is they want to concentrate on.
No, they can find what they love the most, what appeals to them.
Yeah, I think it in some people they they show up and they have an idea of what goes on in the film world, but they don't have that experience yet. And sometimes they'll show up and they'll say, "Wow, I didn't know how much editing is really makes a movie, and I really love it, and I want to start working in that area." When they started out wanting to be a director. So it's really kind of a great thing that they get exposure in the beginning to everything all at once and get an idea of where their talents are and where their focus needs to be and what they're really passionate about, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the truth, because I found I just love producing. I think making everything come together is so much fun. And that's been something I've loved to do because over the years, and not only films, but events and things. You're producing all the time, one thing or another, right, Mary?
Oh, absolutely. I think producing and editing are the two skills that people don't always. They're underrated when those people do almost everything all the time.
I'm just
impressed by that. And you're right, you know, especially nowadays, I think filmmakers have to know how to produce because you're often self-producing your own work. It's really part of the process now, you know. I think it's important for students to learn that kind of stuff and be organized and understand what it takes.
Oh, yes. There's so much to it. It's an amazing thing. Amazing. And editing, too. My daughter and I were working on a film together.
Oh, great.
So she set up, yes, we have a lot of fun working together, and she set up an editing room one time and for 2 hours. I said, 2 hours? What are we going to do for 2 hours, you know? And we were down to like 3 minutes left, and some guy was knocking on the door to get the room. And I opened the door, and I said, "We have 3 minutes left." And I closed it in his face, and I thought, "I've never been so rude, but I'm not leaving here till the last second."
Yeah.
I never loved anything so much. But I had to choose. I was running a business, and so I think I can do the producing because that's a natural for me, and I'll leave the editing for the next life. But I loved it. It's
fun. I really do believe that editors can make or break a film. They kind of make it happen. I almost think it's a magical thing, because especially in documentary, as you probably know more than I do, even that, you know, you have all this footage, and then you have to find the story within that. And that takes a lot of – not only are editors amazing in constructing that, but also they're story consultants. And that to me, is a really important trait in an editor. And I love it too, but I'm not one of those people that can sit at a computer for hours and hours.
Right.
So, but I admire it greatly. And I have definite feelings about editing. And I love the theory of it, but I just think it's one of those skills that certain people really take to, and when they do, they can be quite amazing at it.
Yes, you should see the new film, the documentary out, Quincy, because the editing is, you're going to love it.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, I'm always looking for films to show my students too, so that was on my list already, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, the editing is superb, and it's one of the highest vibrating films of the year. There is so much love and care and support of your fellow man from Quincy himself. He's just a stellar human being, you know, and you don't want to miss a minute. I had to stop and rewind many times because he would be giving us lessons from his father, things his father taught him or someone said to him, which were profound. I loved every minute, so that's my favorite.
That's definitely on my list. Now that I'm finished with my semester, I have a little more time to watch things, so that's on the top of my list now.
Okay, Netflix download.
Oh, good. Perfect. Perfect. I have Netflix.
Okay. Well, now, tell us what you think sets your program apart from other film schools.
Well, I think what's really unique about the school itself is that the students are there to really nurture their and sort of light a fire on in their creative impulses. And I think that's really that's what graduate school for me was all about. And sure, it's expensive, you know, any school is, but if you want to go somewhere where you can sort of connect with other filmmakers, create your own community and nurture your talent in a space that isn't in the real world sort of business side of things as much, but you have that time to take risks and explore. That, I think we really give people that opportunity. And I think what I really like about the program too is that it's incredibly diverse. I mean, we're really committed to help women especially. You know, Mount St. Mary's University the undergrad is traditionally a women's college. And it was started by the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet, who came from France, and when they were here in L.A., they saw the need for educating women. And the first women they educated were prostitutes.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And they built their school in Brentwood at the top of a hill where it wasn't Brentwood at the time. This is, I think, in 1925. And it was surrounded by just hills. And they bought that property and thinking, and no one thought it would end up being Brentwood and expensive. but it's a beautiful campus up there, and their goal is to really educate women and underrepresented people. And I really feel, I take that to heart because I feel like, especially in the film business, women need to be represented and they need to have their stories told. But the more important thing is they need to be trained. They need to understand what the jobs are and what is available to them. So I'm really committed to training women and underrepresented people because I think we need different perspectives. We need different stories. We need a more global awareness and perspective. And I think we just need those viewpoints from all parts of the world. And so I think that's what makes Mount St. Mary's really special. It's really diverse. Our program has more women, more people of color, and my eyes get open to all kinds of stories that people have to tell. That, and they really learn how to tell their stories in a passionate way. And you know, we have small classes. We often have guest speakers because we're so close to Hollywood. And I actually have a lot of family members in the film business, and I bring them in. I bring in, you know, recently I brought in a woman who was a best boy. I brought in a director, a female director. I bring in ADs and documentary filmmakers, people from Firelight Media and NALIP and National Association for Latino Independent Producers. So,
oh, I love that group. Aren't they wonderful? NALIP?
And so we even have students who are working there. So it's not a vocational school. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought my phone, it was my phone beeping. I think it's telling me I have a phone call, but I'm not going to answer it.
okay, good.
But I think we really try to focus and nurture talent and an individual and vision. It's not a vocational school in the sense of like we're training people to become certain specific jobs, even though they could certainly learn those things, but we see it more as an art practice. And I think we're interested in helping people make movies that matter, you know, that make a difference. And it's a flexible schedule. We have state-of-the-art equipment. And all of our faculty and staff, they're professionals and they work in the industry. So the students really get exposed to a well-rounded education in creating their own art and what goes on in the film industry, both in in narrative work, television, and specifically in my case, documentary work.
Yes, that's wonderful. Well, tell us where people can go to learn more about the school. Is there a website you can send us to?
Yes. The main thing I would say is for people to check out msmu.edu. And then once they get on the school website, they can go into academics and look under the different programs that are there. But we also have a Facebook page, and we have an Instagram feed. And all of that, I think, is on the website as well. So it's, and we often post things there about what the students are doing, what we're doing in our classes, the open houses we may have. We have info sessions throughout the year where people can actually come and to the studio itself and talk to the faculty members and some of the students directly to see what it's all about. And, you know, frankly, I'm fine if people want to email me directly. My email is mtrunk@msmu.edu.
Oh, wonderful. That's really kind of you, Mary. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, you also own and operate your own production company with your husband. So tell us about this.
Oh, sure. Well, my husband and I started a company. It's called Ma and Pa Films, and that came because my name is Mary and my husband's name is Paul, so we just used the first two letters of our names, not because we're moms and pops, but even though I do have a daughter. But we really did it as sort of a way to do our own creative work. We don't often have that opportunity in our own paid jobs. My husband is a cinematographer. And so we really wanted to have an opportunity to work together. We collaborate often and take risks and try things out that are personal and passionate for us. So we've collaborated on feature documentaries, short documentaries. We just recently did a short narrative film. We've done dance videos, photography, and it's a real pleasure. I mean, my husband is an incredible cinematographer, and because he's a cinematographer, he's also a really good editor. So that's been great, and I often direct and produce. And we just do it because we need that outlet. We need that space to kind of experiment and follow our passion. So as I said, you know, we've done all different things, but we recently did this narrative short based on a short story. And I'm working on a project called Muscle Memory right now. But
well, yeah, I want to know more about that because it's about dancing when you're older. The woman who works
it doesn't
with me
sound
lives
very
to
very
dance.
Interesting, but actually hopefully it is. Well, Muscle Memory is I call it a hybrid because it's both dance video and documentary. And when I talk about dance video, dance video is really a kind of a new it's its own art form. It's a way to show dance up close, to take it away from just recording from the proscenium stage, but actually combining cinematography and choreography to create a whole new visual language. So that's something I'm doing in Muscle Memory, with incorporating that with a documentary about really about all my friends I went to school with at UC Santa Cruz in the 80s and how we were influenced by dancing and working and how that reverberated through our lives. So I'm still in the midst of it. I'm getting close to finishing it, but it's I would say it's more of a poetic documentary. I invited some of my former dance friends to participate, not only as interview subjects but also as dancers, and they're willing. So they're in their 50s now, and they're dancing, and I'm choreographing on them. And I have to say, it's been an incredible delight and to do all that. And I think it is for them too. So it's unsentimental because, you know, it does show the challenges, the physical challenges, some of the emotional tensions, and, you know, we do have I want to explore the meaning of middle age in all of its complexity and using dance to do that with. Does that make sense? Hello, do you hear me?
Yes.
Carol, are you with us?
Yeah, hi. It is hard, but the thing is that many times people, they say people live longer and they're healthier when they dance. Do
absolutely.
You think that?
Oh, I think it's absolutely true. I mean, it, you can see it in just in when we start dancing together. Not, it, what's interesting about that, too, is not just the physical act of moving, but the social act of dancing together. And because what dance does when you're moving around together is it creates an intimacy that is wordless. And that, I think, that just makes you feel connected to each other as humans. And so I think that's super important for people to not only move, but be socially connected and be creative. It's kind of, it makes you feel alive, and isn't that what it's all about?
Yes, and a lot of times therapists will tell you to go dance, to just
yes.
dance in your living room because to relax and to open up more creative areas in your mind and your body.
And also for memory. I mean, it's been interesting because it's harder for us to remember sequences and, you know, we don't move like we used to, but we find ourselves remembering how we used to do it. And it sort of recharges us, which has been really fun. And actually, I'm planning a big film shoot in January, my final dance video shoot with the dancers. And I'm super excited about that. So that's going to happen in beginning of January.
Is that down here or up north?
It's down here. I've invited them all to come down here. So we'll see how it
okay.
goes.
Oh, good. Well, why are you calling this a hybrid documentary?
Well, part of it is that it's dance video, and it's also a more traditional documentary, although I'm finding as I'm working on it, it's becoming more poetic. But also, it started off with in sections. So I have a website which has all these short videos. So I'm introducing the project in short videos, sort of dance videos, which people can check that out. It's musclememoryproject.com. And it's instead of just creating a two-hour documentary, it's a way for people to enter the story in a different way. They can watch short videos where they're introduced to different people, different locations, different dance videos, more. And then as they go through it, then I'll have like an hour-long, longer version. And I'm actually thinking I might even have more of an interactive site set up where people can really enter the story in different ways. So they can hear audio from people. They can see different things that are written. They can look at different videos. They can decide where they want to start the story. So that's in the future, but that's why I call it hybrid. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, because we all are audio, kinesthetic, and visuals.
Right.
And dividing us up sometimes is a way to get your point across, because some people really need to see it or read it or hear it. And
exactly.
So
I mean, I find myself...
That's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I am a visual person, sometimes I don't have time to watch the 10-minute video. I can read faster. So I want to read it. And I have lots of written archival stuff that I think people might be interested in looking at. So, and I'm a huge fan of podcasts. As you may know, living in LA, driving is a constant here, and I drive for hours because I teach at all these different schools. So I listen to podcasts all the time. So I hope to include a podcast as well.
Oh, that would be fun. Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. Well, tell us where people can go to learn more about you and your husband's production company.
They can go to our website, which is maandpafilms.com. and we have a website there, and also there's a Facebook page, which is also on the website. So they can go there, and they can see all of our videos, or most of them. They're all posted there.
Great. Well, I want to go back to Mount St. Mary's University and ask some questions. So you say that you can graduate in 2 years. Is that for the master's class? What about, for the graduate class?
Yes, the graduate program, most people, if they take all the full-time load, which is 3 classes per semester, they can graduate in 2 years. That also means that they would do a summer semester. What happens is that it depends on the workload for students, what they feel they can take on, because we do have some students that decide, you know, maybe I can only take 2 classes this semester, so they stretch it out. And we are completely open to that. They just have to complete 52 units to get the terminal degree. So there's 15 units for foundation classes, which I mentioned earlier, the production. Basically, it's production, editing, and sound. And then they they figure out their concentration, and they take 12 units in that, and then they take 12 units of electives. So what's kind of nice about that, too, is they might concentrate in screenwriting but think, you know, I really want to take a documentary class as well. So they can do that, even though they've concentrated in screenwriting. And then they do a thesis and a capstone, and usually a thesis project is something that is either a short film, or if they're an editing student, they might edit 3 different films, or if they're a cinematographer, they might shoot 3 or 4 different projects. So we let the students decide what the thesis is, but it's 52 units, and generally I would say 2 years is if you're going for it complete, you know, full time each semester, including summer. And then, but if not, I'd say most people end in about 3 years.
Okay. Well, Donna was most excited about making a film, a 1-minute film every week. Tell us about that.
That's so great. She was great. She was at our open house, and I was telling her about that. I just have this theory. I tried it out in my dance video class, which I teach at Loyola, because I had a lot of students who were very new at making films. And when you're in a class that where you have to, we only meet 6 times, you have to learn things pretty quickly. And one of the ways I think people really learn quickly is to make work, make a lot of work. It's kind of like the 10,000 hours that Malcolm Gladwell talks about. And I really believe that that's true, that the more work you do, the more you see yourself growing. And so what I started to do is I had these dance students who had never really filmed much, and they really only used their cell phones in the class. But I said, every week you're going to make a 1-minute film. So I had them do 14 films. And I would give them specific guidelines, like, you know, go and they couldn't move the camera, or they had to move the camera a lot, or they had to use certain shot sizes. And I really have found that now that I do that in almost all of my classes, students learn fast. And they also learn not to be afraid of the technology. They have to immerse themselves. So they learn quickly, and they learn to just get it done. And so that way they can kind of move forward into the projects they really want to do. You know, they might have a screenplay they want to produce, or they might have a documentary they want to do. But once because they've done all this work, they've learned about production and f-stops and camera angles and focusing, I mean, basic stuff, but they learned it fast, and they did it by making lots and lots of work. And you know, in some ways they've made a lot of crappy movies, but that's okay. They got that behind them, and now they can go work on a more substantial project. So that's been something that I found has, I will say, though, that many of the students groan when I tell them this.
Oh, I think it sounds like a lot of fun. But I want to know, do you tell them who's going to write, who's going to be the writer, the director, the editor, or do you let them decide among themselves?
Oh, no, they have to do all of it. They have to shoot it and edit it themselves. So if it's a one-minute
person.
Oh,
each
yeah.
person makes their – oh, it's not together as a crew? Each person
no, not
does
at
their
all.
Own spell? Oh, my gosh.
No, eventually
wow.
they work as crews. And often in my classes we do projects during class because we have so many hours where they work in
yeah.
groups. So they learn that too. But what I find is I want them to get a real overview. So they're not making really accomplished films, one-minute films, although I will say some of the more advanced students go beyond, which is great. I'm okay with people working within their own levels. But what I find is that they really just need to master the basics, and this is how they can do that. So sometimes a one-minute film is just about learning depth of field or learning how different camera angles or learning what a close-up is or a medium shot is or what a wide shot is. So it's not that they're creating finished, perfect products. They're learning how to – I call them sketches, really. They're sketches. So it's a way for them to kind of immerse themselves in – and then they have to edit it because that makes them learn. And once they have that overview, I think they have a better understanding of what the whole process is. And so when they do choose something, I'm going to direct this, they understand what everybody's job is, you know?
Yes, that's very important.
Yeah.
It's such a wonderful collaborative business, the film industry.
Oh, it really is. And I think that's one thing, another thing I really think is important to have them learn alongside these one-minute films is how to work with each other, how to appreciate
exactly.
each other's skills and talents, and how to understand that everybody brings something to the table and you have to really find it and you have to understand that you'll be working with all kinds of people. So it's important that you get along.
Oh, yes. And you are open to receive because they have brilliant ideas. You never know who's going to come up with the best idea in the crowd. It could be just the prop man come up with a great idea that will improve the film. So everybody has to listen and be open.
Absolutely. And that's another thing I would say about the program that I appreciate is that because we give students the opportunity to be creative and follow their passion, when they do go out into the world and work on a film set, even if they start out as a PA, they understand how to contribute creatively because they've done it. And they understand how to do it and when to do it. So I think that's important. They're not just there in a job. They want to be artists. So I think that's part of the collaboration as well.
Absolutely. Well, share some of your success stories with us, people who've graduated and gone on and done some wonderful things.
Well, we have quite a few people who teach, which is great. And, you know, a lot of people get their master's because they want to teach. And some of them have already been teaching and need to get their terminal degree to continue teaching at a university. So we even have a woman who's in the program now who's teaches in Sacramento, and she actually commutes from Sacramento to come to classes.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
In a way, a weekend college works really well for people like that. We've had people commute. We have one student commute from New York, which is kind of crazy, but she does it. And but she, this woman is creating a whole degree program at her community college up in Sacramento. And then we have a student who just graduated last spring who's working at Netflix now. She was a post-production supervisor, and she wanted her dream job was to work at Netflix, and that's what she's doing. And then we had a couple of alumni do a horror film that just premiered at the Austin Film Festival. As I said, we have people working at NALIP. We have students who continually make short films that are in festivals all the time with awards. We have people who write me all the time, thank you for helping me get this internship, working. You know, I often help students, figure out how to approach companies and organizations to get the internships or to even get jobs, and how to write a resume, how to get ready for an interview. We've had people shadowing directors. One student that I really enjoyed lived in Bakersfield, and she ended up doing a really great documentary about a drag queen in Bakersfield, and I really appreciated that she found that story, you know, in her own town and explored it and pursued it. So really, you know, I think the most, what's so successful is that it kind of ignites this fire for them to make work and to continue doing it outside of school and to get their work out there and seen. And they do it.
And seen, yeah. That sounds great. And, you know, Netflix, I hear, is a great place to work, but they are tough. They want a degree for almost any job, even a personal assistant job. My one person on my board is looking at Netflix to go to work, and she would, and I was shocked at just what a PA is required to have. So I would think this would be marvelous for people who want to get in that company.
That's really great to know because well, Chiquisha definitely has her MFA now, but she and she's an incredible person. So I'm sure they are very glad to have her now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, so you're really making a lot of filmmakers are coming out of there. I would also think that a lot of people who work in the film industry in jobs that are just adjunct to that want to know more about the filmmaking process, and I would think they would be taking classes from you too.
You know what? You're right. It's so true. We've had people who are in the business who have been in a specific role, and they really want to expand that. You know, we've had visual effects people, post people. We have had art directors who you know, need to kind of cultivate and nurture their own creative output, and they want to do. And not only do they need a place to do that, but they need to have a community. They need where they can do that and feel safe. And what's kind of nice, kind of have a cohort sort of situation where the incoming group, each group that comes in, really connects and works together. And you see them continuing that throughout their time at Mount St. Mary's, which really, and then even beyond, which is great. I mean, we've had people sort of partner up making documentaries, and then they're doing that when they leave. And they've developed it at our school. But people who already work in the industry, it makes we see a lot of that, which I think is great because, again, it's a way for them to have a broader sort of experience in their own work. You know, if they're going to go back and be an art director, now they can contribute and participate more fully. So, and create their own work as well. So,
and create their own work, yes. And they know everybody's job because they've done it. I like that. I always knew everybody's job in my company, and I think that's very important. But to learn how to make films, if you're in a company related, even if you're selling film or tape or something like that, it would be beneficial because you then get to release all your own creativity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's you know, in my own film, Muscle Memory, what I'm finding is that college experience of being able to do our own work. Because I went to study dance, they really required us to choreograph as well and make work. And that, even though some of us are not, I mean, I'm still doing work, but some people are working with animals or you know, art directing or prop styling or Pilates instructors, they still have that creative sort of a fire inside them, and I think it's influenced everything all the choices they make in their lives in a good way. And
in a good way,
I think that's important.
It certainly is. Well, you have just sparked my creativity so much in this conversation. It's such a pleasure to get to know you, Mary, and learn about your life in the school. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And I really, please tell us one more time how people can find you and how they can find the school information.
Sure. Mount St. Mary's University is msmu.edu. And then just go under graduate programs or even the undergrad programs for the film and media communications program. And we also have a Facebook and Instagram feed, so if they just look up Mount St. Mary's University on either one of those, they'll find us. And then my email address is mtrunk@msmu.edu. And my websites are maandpafilms.com and musclememoryproject.com.
Well, I definitely want to see the muscle memory. That's got my attention. That sounds
good. I'm glad.
Important. Yes, I think it's great. Well, thank you for joining us, and good luck. I know that a lot of the filmmakers who listen to this will be thrilled to hear how they can put their weekends to work and end up with a degree. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, and I, like I said, I'd be happy to answer any questions, and maybe sometime we can have you come as a guest to one of our classes.
I'd love that. You know, this
I would
is
love
the thing.
That too.
Nobody ever teaches how to raise money in school. And you send them out, they're all creative, they're ready to go, and then they say, well, wait a minute, where's the money?
And you know what, you're up right, and that's something that I think what they really need. I mean, I definitely go over that with, and I certainly have sent my students to your website and to your book.
Thank you.
Of course, and they've been helpful, but to really hear from a professional, I think that's super important for them. So we'll have to arrange that coming up.
Thank you. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun for me. Well, Claire, thank you very much for helping in hosting the show.
Yes, thank you,
Always
Claire.
Always an honor. Yes,
okay.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, Mary. Well, I'll get to meet you then in the future, right?
That would be lovely.
That'd be fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Thanks, Claire. Bye for now.
Oh, you're
Bye.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
And also, I want to say to our listeners, I want to tell you how grateful we are for the donations that you've given at FromTheHeartProductions.com to support our podcast. Carol and I sincerely thank you, and we'd love to hear from you with ideas for more shows. What are some topics that you would like covered? Who would you like interviewed? Just let us know. And please join us next week for the Art of Film Funding podcast. Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.